everybody, and welcome back to the Divine Manifesting Show with Christy Whitman and Rebecca Grotto. Want to say hi to my co-author and co-host, Rebecca. Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, Christy. How are you? How's everybody doing?
I'm doing great. You?
Really good. We're getting some great weather over here in Northern California, so really enjoying the summer. Yeah.
That's
how
good.
About yourself?
Actually, Canada's been very cold. I'm in Montreal, and literally went and looked at some, we watched some fireworks the other night, which was a beautiful night, but it was really cold. It was almost in the, high 60s, and it was really cold. I'm like,
huh.
Do you guys ever not get, warm weather here, or what?
Yeah, it seems like it's always flip-flopping back and forth from really hot to really cold, so... Huh.
Yeah, exactly. But, we didn't want to talk about the weather. Today, actually, we're talking about the law of sufficiency and abundance, and I'm sure, as Rebecca knows, this is my favorite law. I just absolutely love talking about abundance. As a matter of fact, I have a 5-week abundance course that I do, and I have many courses that I offer for group coaching, and this is one of my absolute favorite because I just love the topic of abundance. It's just it's such a fun topic for me to talk on. And it's a great, great law. The law of sufficiency and abundance basically says that you have everything within you right now to make your life a living dream. We are literally in a universe of abundance, and you can look to nature just to see the evidence of that. If you look at a tree and all the many leaves that are on the tree, or when you're in the ocean, you can see just the vast, just how big and just amazing, the ocean is. And, of course, when you look at the sky and look at all the stars, everything is just so beautiful and abundant. And the thing is, though, is that most of us believe that there is scarcity and there's lack, and we've been trained to believe this. Can you guys hear me okay? Rebecca, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. So you want to add anything to that, Rebecca?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think that, the law says that, we live in a universe where there's an unlimited supply of goods. There's enough for everyone to thrive, and there will always be enough. But again, as you were saying, Christy, I don't think many of us believe that, or we just don't know that that's a universal truth. We live sort of in that programming that there's just a limited supply out there, and we all have to be fighting for, a portion of whether it's success or possessions or whatever it is, or whatever resource is out there. I mean, we always feel like we have to be fighting for or competing over a portion of our, our lot, our due, and that's just not the truth. The law of sufficiency and abundance says there is enough for everyone to thrive, to have every desire and need met, and there will always be enough. So, it's like, why don't we believe this? why haven't we not been led to lead our lives or to live our lives this way and to have this as our belief system? I just don't know, but... I blame consumerism,
yeah.
I think.
Probably has a lot to do with it. Yeah, but absolutely right. I mean, our beliefs are based in lack, and we literally think that if we're manifesting something or somebody else is manifesting something, then we can't have it. And it's just such a lie because that's what actually is the cause of competition. As, both of us are very, very, very well versed on the topic of female competition. I mean, that is just, and I really like to talk about that today too, Rebecca, is how the lack mentality, it can lead to so many of the problems that we have in society today, like depression, like anxiety, like eating disorder, different things like that.
Overshopping, compulsive shopping, addiction.
Yeah.
Exactly, Christy.
Exactly.
The list goes on and on and on, and it all stems from that innate feeling that there's not enough, that I'm inadequate, I'm not enough, there's not enough, so I have to kind of hoard or protect, or I'm always trying to fill that void within. Yeah, exactly. I think they really, I think most of the problems that go on in our life, whether it's psychological or, whatever, they really do stem from that not feeling like we're enough or we're ever going to have enough.
Absolutely. Yeah, and, I know this one well. I mean, I always did the I'm not enough. And, 5 years ago, I wrote a book called Perfect Pictures, and it's all about that. It's like we're always, at least for myself, and I know a lot of the coaching clients that I have, and I know a lot of your clients as well, have a lot of just issues of just never feeling worthy, never feeling like anything is ever enough, that our body, our weight, our husbands, our boyfriends, our girlfriends, you know, the job that we have, the money that we make, it's just the house that we live in. I mean, nothing is just ever enough. And so we're always trying to, you know, fix it by getting more, making more money, you know, trying to lose another extra 5 pounds, buying another pair of shoes, you know, trying to buy a bigger house, blah, blah, blah. And all those things are great if, you know, if that's what you want and desire in life, because we can always like, have those things. But when it becomes our quest for happiness, you know, and we feel that it's just not enough, then that's where it poses a problem. Yeah,
right. We define ourselves by that success. And I think, again, you know, I was sort of half-kidding when I said I blame consumerism. But I really think, you know, the whole science of consumerism is based on keeping somebody needy, keeping somebody wanting something more. And so everywhere we look, every time we turn on, our television, we're being bombarded with, you're not enough. You know, whether it's weight loss or you need this weed whacker or you really need this new and improved Ginsu knife or whatever it is, it's really based on the theory that what you have right now is inadequate. And so I think there is always that from the time we're little, that feeling of being agitated, that feeling that we need more. Something needs to make us whole and complete. And again, it takes us away from the truth that we really are already whole and complete. We were born, you know, fully sufficient in a universe that has everything we could possibly need and want. All we have to do is imagine it, and it's there for us. But we just don't believe that, so we're always sort of searching around and never feeling like it's enough. And I think, you know, what you were saying, Christy, is absolutely true. We always want the next level, but then when we get there, there's that momentary feeling of satisfaction. And then, you know, it's like, what do most of us do? We let that go and start looking for the even better. You know, gosh, mm-hmm. No sooner did you get the 2007 car and 2008 will be out, and we're like, oh, you know, now I want that one. You know,
like Homer Simpson.
Oh, you know. I mean, isn't there this new iPod, whatever, or what is it, the new telephone that's out, and everybody's just clamoring to get it, and I'm thinking, what was so wrong with the old one? I pushed the button, and it still works. You still
exactly.
Get the person on the other end. Not
exactly.
Sure I need all those bells and whistles, but there's this feeling of, am I okay if I don't have the one that takes pictures and, you know, boy, you know, that probably does a load of laundry, too. I don't know. Everybody's just wanting it so bad. So, you know, it's that always that feeling inside that we have, because I think we forget the universal law of sufficiency and abundance, that we can have anything that we desire and that we're already full and sufficient and complete as we are. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is true is that when you tie it, and that's why I want to talk about on this show, I'm so glad we're talking about all the universal laws, it's not just law of attraction, but all of them tie in and play together. And what I mean by that is if you are, you know, we're always in abundance. We're either in abundance of lack or we're in abundance of abundance. And, you know, no matter what you're thinking, you are either in abundance of lack or you're in abundance of abundance. So that law is always consistent. But the thing is, if you are in a place of being in lack, that is exactly what you are going to attract to you. And, you know, you've described it many times as kind of going down the rabbit hole. And the way I think about it is, you know, you're going down like a train track. And if you get on the train of lack and limitation, you start going down that road, and your world becomes very dark very, 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 very quickly. And I just, you know, just recently discovered this. But the thing is that we have the opportunity to shift and to come back and jump the track, so to speak, and get on a different train and go down to the life of abundance. And it's up to us to be able to do that, to be able to shift our way of thinking. Because, I mean, it can go to hell in a handbasket very quickly if you are focused on lack thoughts. I mean, that's the whole reason that you and I created this book, The Fairest One of All, and No Competition, is because of the fact that I was in a place of just utter, it's not good enough, I'm not good enough, and I was very much focused in lack. And it was together learning that, you know, female competition is all based in lack.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I think that in order to shift gears, though, I think one has to really understand that there's a different track you can be on. You know, I think a lot of times we're going down this train track of lack, this path, where, you know, we just sort of are, you know, making it happen, and yes, there's struggle, and there's just hardships, and this is just the way it is, because we really don't even understand that there's another train track just a few feet away. And so as you're saying that, Christy, it makes me think about, you know, the fact that we really have to have sort of an awareness, and maybe that's why this phone call is so important. People have to have an awareness that there is another track out there, that we can be in a mindset of abundance, that we can be in a mindset of sufficiency. We can really work towards feeling completely satisfied and content in our lives with what we have, such as it is right now. And that well-being and, you know, peace of mind and contentment are really ours to have in this moment. I mean, you know, right now we can all have that, but we have to be willing to recognize when we're in a lack mindset and the fact that there's another option. Does that make sense, Christy? It's like, are you there, honey? I think I lost Christy. So anyways, through that recognition, then we have the opportunity to move towards choosing a better mindset, choosing abundance, and using the action steps to release, you know, all those thoughts, all the lack mentality, scarcity, poverty consciousness, all the things that we really want to let go of, we have the opportunity to do that. So I'm not sure if Christy's on the line or if I'm on the line. Commercial where they drop the call
twice. Yours and mine.
So you're talking, and then you say something to me, and I was like, oh, two great points that I wanted to make on that. And you're like, Christy, can you hear me? And I'm like, oh, man. So, you know, it's all perfect.
It's all good.
It's all good.
It's all sufficient and abundant.
Exactly.
It's all how we choose to see this. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. But yeah. One of the things that you had said, and it's really important, is that, you know, it's having that awareness that you have it available, you have well-being available to you every moment of every single, you know, of every single day. And the thing is that we need to become aware of it. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Deepak Chopra or Marianne Williamson or whoever you are. We all have our days where things get the best of us, or we have things that go on, or, you know, we kind of slip into our old way of thinking. And it's up to us to make sure that we are aware and mindful of those thoughts so that we don't slip into it. And for the most of us that aren't a Deepak Chopra or a Marianne Williamson, for those people that they need a little bit extra help, that's why a therapist, that's why a coach is so important, or even just having a really good friend that has this type of mindset that you can talk to. Because a lot of times we're in our own world and we're in our own mind, so to speak, and if you can get with another friend on the phone or a coach or, you know, a therapist to help you kind of see a different perspective, to help you gain that awareness, that's going to help you shift and change.
Well, exactly, and I think, you know, when people come to me, they're coming to me because they don't know what they don't know. And in other words, how can I get out of my thinking when I'm in the middle of my thinking? And so you really do need somebody on the outside looking in who can navigate and guide you through what you don't know, the terrain that you don't know. Once you learn that terrain, you're absolutely fine. You no longer need that person to guide you. But, you know, again, we don't know what we don't know. We don't realize that we're so stuck when we're in the middle of being stuck. Does that make sense? We just know we're struggling and suffering. But we don't. But if we knew why, we would get ourselves out of it, I'm thinking. So I agree with you, Christy. I think that it's just ridiculous to think that we wouldn't use the help and the assistance of somebody outside of ourselves. I think you and I both do that often. I mean, we reach out to each other. We reach out to, you know, other friends. I mean, I don't want to stay stuck in my mindset a minute more than I have to. I mean, the minute I recognize that I'm in a place I don't want to be, my first thought is, I want out of this, and I want out of this fast. Who do I turn to give me a different perspective, to give me an option?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I did that to you yesterday. I mean, I remember I just woke up in the morning, I was fine, and then all of a sudden as I was going through my day, you know, it was like I say, I had poopy diapers. I mean, I was just like, you know, I was just, bleh, and it was just wanted someone to kind of help me get out of my situation. And I called you and we talked, and, you know, it was great because you gave me a different perspective and you asked me a very, very important question because I was in a mindset of lack. And believe me, I know you know this, but I do a lot of work on myself, and I coach people and I know this kind of stuff. But sometimes the mind just gets control over you, and you just have to kind of have another person give you a perspective or at least kind of be mindful of your thoughts. And when you're in that stuck in what you called the muck and the mire, it's hard to get into that place. So when you have a good friend or, you know, again, a therapist or a coach that can help you kind of get out of it, it's great. And you would ask me one question, and it was one simple question that literally shifted me. And you said, what do you want? And it's true because I was focused in what I wasn't having and what was not coming to me and, you know, where I was at, and it wasn't enough. And I focused on what I do want, and that got me thinking about the things that I do want to create and what I'm trying to do, and it got me in a more positive mood. And once I was in a more positive mood thinking about what I did want, I was absolutely able to come back and go, but you know what? This moment is perfect. Everything I have is perfect. My partner is perfect. The place I live in is perfect. My career is perfect. The money I have is perfect. I mean, I always have more than enough, and it's all good. But it just seems like when you're in that spiral down and you're in that lack mentality, it just brings you down.
Mm-hmm. And I think, that's part of the strategies we talk about in our upcoming book, is how do you release, you know, what are the action steps we can take? What are the steps we can take when we, if we find ourselves, you know, if some of these listeners are actually saying, you know, I do that a lot. I find that I allow my thoughts to guide me down this really miserable trail. You know, it's not enough. The day's just, oh, what a sucky day. It's Monday. Oh, God, you know, and oh, God, my parents are coming over this weekend, and on and on and on, and it's all so bleak and miserable. What are the things that they can do to begin to change that reality around?
Absolutely. Well, one of the first things, and just to give you an example, I have a friend of mine who is also a coach, and she's a motivational speaker, and she's an amazing woman. She currently had some, you know, things happen to her in her life that were pretty significant, and she was just in this really, really down place. And we spoke today, and, you know, she said, what can I do? And I said, well, first and foremost is you have to get in a place of being appreciative for what you have. Yes, there are these life things that are coming at you, and that's what happens. As my grandmother used to say, these are things that happen to the living. You know, I think that the big thing is that when you get into this place of becoming a deliberate creator, and I know I'm very guilty of this, and you start applying the laws of attraction and things like that, you think that life is going to be seamless, perfect, you know, nothing's ever going to go wrong type of thing. And that truly isn't the way of life. Yeah, life becomes a lot easier, and it's done with ease and effortless, and there's a lot less struggle. But there's going to be things that happen that, you know, you might lose a job, or you might lose a relationship, or you, you know, might have to, even something might positive, like moving to a different city. Like I just moved to, you know, Montreal. It was an adjustment, and there were things that I had to, and I'm still going through, things that I had to learn and adjust and grow, and there's a whole step of expansion. But my point is that it's when these things happen, it's the mindset that you have. It's the way you look at things. And when you can focus on being appreciative and grateful for where you are now, what you now have in your life, you are in a space of being sufficient, that everything you have is sufficient. And when you're in that space, you're in a good place. You're in a good, everything's good. You're in a good vibration. And it's when you can really focus on, wow, I just really am so abundant to have the partner that I have, or the family that I have, or the kids that I have, or whatever it is. You're in a higher vibratory place. And of course, the law of attraction is going to bring you more things. But it's the perspective that when these life situations happen to you, it's how you deal with them and how you choose to see them in your life. Instead of seeing things as a failure or a mistake, choose to see it as an opportunity to grow.
And that's so, what I was going to say, Christy, is I think it's all about perception.
Yes.
That, you know, life is going to be as life is. There's you know, it's going to be tough. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be good things and bad things. But it really has to do with training the mind to view any opportunity from a mindset of appreciation, even during the struggles. I'm going to tell you a really quick story. My very, very best friend is just, I think she's just one of, you know, the wisest people on the planet, because she really does know how to turn any tragedy into comedy. I mean, she's hysterical to be around. But a few years back, she got into an accident and she broke her neck. And she really had the same break that Christopher Reeves had. And so it was pretty tragic. And when I called her, she lives in Florida, it could have been the morphine, but she kept saying over and over again, this is not a tragedy. And I thought, what do you mean? You just broke your neck. You're in a halo. You've had surgery. I mean, you know, it's like, this is bad. This is really bad. And over again through the next few weeks, she kept saying to me, oh, this isn't a tragedy. And what she meant by that is, I choose not to hold this as something horrible that's happened in my life. I choose to see this as such an incredible blessing. I could be dead. I could be paralyzed. Instead, all I've had to go through is, you know, some aggravating and annoying surgeries, but I'm going to be back up on my feet and I'm going to be good as gold. And that perspective is what I'm talking about. Is if we can break our neck and feel so unbelievably grateful, then, you know, she's a living example of when we stub our toe or spill coffee all over our white pantsuit, or, you know, it's like we too can find the appreciation in that. And it's hard. I think it's a training of the mind to not go to, whoa, I can't believe this happened and it always happens to me and I'm such a victim and why, you know. Instead, I think we can really train our minds to say, I'm really so blessed to have the ability to buy such a beautiful pantsuit that I just ruined, and so I have the opportunity to buy another one, or I have the opportunity to have a hot cup of coffee in my hand, or whatever it is, you know, just like my friend, she kept focusing on the blessings, that she was going to be able to get up and walk, that she was going to have her life back within a matter of months. And, you know, for me, she was just an incredible living example of how we can train our minds to perceive things from a place of abundance and sufficiency and blessings versus tragedy and, you know, victimization. And, you know, I always call it the Nancy Kerrigan, why did this happen to me? You know, how could this, you know, so it's like, I just think one of the action steps that we can take is really starting to recognize when we're allowing our mind to take us to victimization and catching it and releasing those thoughts and choosing to replace them with, you know, thoughts of, as you were saying, Christy, blessings and abundance and, you know, appreciation of, in this moment, I'm just fine. I have everything I need in this moment.
Absolutely. So I think the first step is the recognizing or having that awareness. And it's becoming, when you become aware and recognize when you're out of alignment, that's the first and most important step, because you obviously can't take the next steps if you're not aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you do this by putting your awareness and your attention on the thoughts that you're having, and then ask yourself, am I thinking thoughts that are empowering me or disempowering me? Am I thinking thoughts of lack or am I thinking thoughts of abundance? And just this quick question, like the question you asked me yesterday, are you thinking about what you want or are you thinking about what you don't want? And just that question, just having that awareness, gets you to that place where you're understanding and allowing you to, you know, to change your thoughts. And that's where you release the old thoughts, where you actually release that old way of thinking. Another example of that is people that go through a divorce. I know for myself, I recently went through a divorce about a year ago. And when I left my marriage, you know, it was an 8-year relationship, and it was a beautiful marriage and relationship, but it was time for me to move on. And my former husband, you know, would say to me, God, it's just, this is such a failure. And I remember telling him, you know, it's all in the perspective of how you look at it. We had a lot of growth in our relationship over the past 8 years. We had a lot of great times, but more importantly is that the two of us, as two different souls, we grew, we expanded, and we loved a lot. And that's the most important thing. That was a huge success to me. And when I look at it from that perspective, I'm able to close that door and move on, not carrying this burden, this heavy thing on my back of being a failure. It's that, you know, I as a person, as a spirit, as a soul, grew, expanded. And because of that, I'm able to give and receive even more love and put more love and light on the planet. How is that a failure? You know, so it's, again, all how you perceive. It's the awareness that you have. It's the understanding that you have. And it's being able to recognize it, release it, and then reclaim something else.
Well, and I think the most empowering thing that we can ever do is recognize that we always, at every moment, have a choice in our life.
Yep.
We have a choice as to how we will perceive our circumstances. I actually think that our perception is so much more important than actually going out and changing or controlling the circumstances of our life,
mm-hmm.
which I think most of us invest, you know, 99% of our energy trying to get the circumstances of our life to be a certain way so that then we will feel a certain and specific thing. But I think if we were to actually realize that within our mind, we have the power through perception to feel those things that we want to feel, then we wouldn't be wasting our time going out trying to change the circumstances of our life. Does that make sense, Christy?
Totally.
So
absolutely.
When you're saying, you know, it's like how you choose to, which lens do you choose to put on? You know, I choose to go through life with rose-colored glasses. That's just my perception. And trust me, I've been called Pollyanna-ish. I've been given some real snide names, you know, and I don't care because when I have my rose-colored glasses on, I just feel so much better. And I think when you were saying, you know, starting to recognize what you're thinking, the best way to do that is to go again to your feelings. We talk about this every show, but it's like your feelings will be your guidance system. If you're just happy, well, then you know your perceptions are really good. Right now they're attuned to blessings and abundance and hopefulness and all the opportunities that await you. If you're feeling just down in the dumps and depressed or anxious or competitive or stressed out or whatever you're feeling, then you know that your thoughts somewhere in there are telling you something you don't want them to be saying. You're not enough. Other people are getting there before you. They're going to get the prize and you're not. I mean, your thoughts are going to be, you know, just running amok. And so I think if you're really attuned to your feelings, you will know what your thoughts are telling you. And it's at that point in that recognition and also with the recognition that you have a choice. That we started out this show talking about that, Christy, that through the recognition that you have a choice as to where you want to be in any moment, and you have the power within you to flip that switch and make that choice, you can then do what you need to do to release your thoughts and replace them, as you said, with more empowering thoughts and thoughts that are then going to bring you to all those things you wanted in the first place when you were out trying to control your environment, like well-being and contentment and satisfaction and, you know, just peace, harmony, all those things that I think we all strive to have.
Absolutely. And I think it's important, another important point to put on top of that is we become so attached to what our mind tells us. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we think that our thoughts are real. And these thoughts only represent, like the lack thoughts, they only represent what we've learned. They're not who we are. It's not the truth of reality. And as you said, you have a choice as to which thoughts you allow your mind to think. And it's the step where you, this is an important step where you realize that you control your mind. Your mind does not control you. So again, it's coming back to, it's the perception, it's the choice. But it's having that awareness and being able to get to that point to go, okay, what do I choose? And, you know, being able to reclaim that you are abundant. And when you start thinking in thoughts like that, you really do start feeling better and you start attracting more positive things to you.
Exactly. And that's the whole point of what you and I are just huge on, is that changing your perceptions and changing how you feel ultimately is going to just make your life easier, better. It's going to bring you everything that you desire in ease and effortlessness. And that's sort of the point. I know when, you know, as most people have probably heard, I'm not sure, but I took my children on a 48-state road trip, and that was just fun. But one of the reasons, one of my, you know, sort of really key reasons for wanting to do this is I thought, you know, my kids were, I think, 13 and 9 at the time, but I really felt like, boy, kids growing up today, all they hear are, you know, they're just so programmed to think, you know, all strangers are bad, stranger danger, you know, all strangers are pedophiles and murderers and rapists and, you know, kidnappers. And I thought, what a skewed point of view for our children to go out in the world and as they grow up and to have this perception that others are evil or bad. And I just did not want my children to think that. I really thought, again, for their sake, I didn't want them to then attract to themselves all of this fear and negativity and, you know, and have bad things happen to them because their perception was that, you know, there were bad people in the world. And in fact, going on our road trip, you know, I kept saying to them, no matter how different people looked, no matter how different they sounded, what their cultures were, what they ate, you know, it was just so different and unusual to us. They, you know, people are just good. I remember saying to them all the time, no matter who they are, people are inherently good. And what we found was that no matter when we, you know, broke down or needed help, there really were, you know, good people in the world who always came to our rescue. And my point in that is that I didn't want my children growing up with the perception that people are bad, because I think then that is exactly what they would attract to themselves. I wanted them growing up thinking, you know, just people are loving and supportive and they'll be there for you and they'll show up for you. Yeah, we definitely still lock our doors, but, you know, I wanted them to have a really good perception of other human beings so that they would allow that into their reality. They would then attract that. So, you know, what you're saying, Christy, is ultimately, boy, we are going to attract what we perceive as our reality. And I just think it's so important that we realize we can change that perception so as to better attract what we desire.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you have amazing stories from your road trip. And I think it's just, I just give you so much admiration in just for what you did and the courage that you had to do that, and to all the stories that you have for taking your kids and homeschooling them and bringing with you, and just being able to have that time and that just abundance to show your kids, you know, all of the states. I mean, most of the states, and just to have that. So it's an amazing thing, and so many beautiful life lessons I know you've experienced because of that road trip, and it's just awesome. So. Yeah, so, you know, another thing that you can do is just be satisfied now. don't wait to be satisfied. It's just be satisfied now. And what I mean by that is if you are constantly looking for what is wrong, like say if you're constantly picking on yourself or not looking the way you want to look, be satisfied and love yourself the way you are. Accept and love yourself the way you are right now. Because the bottom line is that, and this comes back, and I know that we've talked about this on other shows, it's all about self-love. And when you can reclaim how amazing and magnificent you are as a being, you are perfectly whole and complete in this moment. Nothing is going to take away from you and nothing is going to add to you. You are exactly the way God made you, perfect, whole, and complete. And when you come from that place, yes, there are things that you may desire and things that you want to create and, you know, maybe you want to get your body in better shape and those kind of things, but it comes from a different place. It doesn't come from a place of it's not enough or you're not good enough. It comes from a place of, you know what, I love myself and I want to eat better and I really want to exercise because I love myself. I want to take care of myself. It isn't from a place of, oh, I can't stand the way my thighs look, or, you know, I can't stand this roll around my stomach, or, you know what I mean? It's coming from a place of just acceptance and love. And when you are in that place of just pure well-being, when you're totally in alignment with the truth of who you are, when you're totally in alignment with abundance, you want to take care of yourself. You want to love yourself. The people that you allow into your life as your friends, as your confidants, they'll be a totally different level of a person where there's going to be more respect, more given exchange of love. And it's what happens when you get in this place of abundance. I love hearing stories of people that, start my abundance course, and within a matter of days they're emailing me saying, oh my God, you know, I just met the most wonderful man, or, you know, I was walking, this is a great one, Rebecca, I didn't tell you this, one guy, he's from Manhattan, and he lives right off of Madison Avenue, and he was walking on a Sunday, it was last Sunday, no, two Sundays ago, he was walking down Madison Avenue, pretty busy, you know, area in Manhattan. And he looks down, and there's probably about 40 people around, and he's walking his dog, and he looks down, and he sees a crisp $20 bill. And he's like, okay. So he goes and picks it up, and he's looking around, kind of thinking like, okay, is this a joke? Am I on candid camera? I mean, this doesn't happen. Walks another 2 feet, and there's another crisp $20 bill. And it's just things like that just happen. But more importantly is that he is shifting within himself. He's in this place of just total self-love. He's accepting who he is, but amazing things like that just keep happening. He's getting more respect at work from his colleagues. I mean, it just things are automatically just shifted. So it's just amazing when you can shift your perception and start really changing your consciousness from a consciousness of lack to a consciousness of abundance. What happens? Because you are then in alignment with the universe, and the universe and everything good and ease and effortless flows through you.
Yeah, and I think, I'm in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, people tend to not believe that. Well, that can't happen. Money doesn't just fall out of the sky. But if you believe it does, my belief is, then it does.
Yeah.
You know, and I've truly seen this in my children. I know you've heard a lot of these stories, Christy, but you know, I think it was just 2 months ago, same thing, you're reminding me, the same thing happened to my daughter. We're leaving Blockbuster, and, you know, we've got our videos, and her dad walks right off the curb and gets to the car, and I'm right behind him, and she's right behind us. We missed it, and she saw it, $30 right there on the curb. She instantly was so attuned to attracting money to herself, she dove for it, got it. And I'm like, what? I walked right over it, but then I was good. I found another $5 bill right next to it. And I'm like, I'm abundant. I found five. But it was like, you know, that's really interesting because my mind wasn't attuned to that. I walked right over it. Hers was, and she just, look at what she manifested. And she, it was great to watch her because there was not an ounce of skepticism in her. She just, it was like she just knew in her heart that was meant to be hers, you know, and she swooped down and got it and totally owned it. And I went, that's how it's done. know, money just falls from the sky for this girl. And I'm telling you, it's not $5 or $10. She has $30 in her hand.
Yes,
for
she has a lot of having.
14-year-old, that's a good day.
Yeah.
Know? And so I think you're right, Christy. It's like if we really believe that what we desire literally falls out of the sky, can come to us, you know, without all of that struggle, without having to work so hard at it, if we're just attuned to loving ourselves so much and loving our lives and loving everything around us, then things seem to just happen. And I know, Christy, you and I talk about that all the time, that when we're in that place of just being so in love with ourselves and in love with life, it just feels like everything is magical, you know? You get to Starbucks and suddenly it's just, you know, free latte day
Wait, I've never had that happen.
Oh, you talked about that with me too, where you just feels like, what is going on? People are just giving me things everywhere I go. It just seems like, you know, you get the parking spot right in front, or it just feels like you're in this little aura of magic, and that's just fun.
It is fun. It is fun. It's so much fun, and I just love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually, Frederick and I had something pretty amazing happen. We're in the process of buying a house, and we went to this builder, and we're going to be building our house, and it's pretty amazing because we went to, you know, pick out the house that we wanted to pick out, and the price had gone up, like, you know, $10,000 from, like, 3 weeks ago. And so we had asked, you know, God, is there any way, since we're only 3 weeks later, that we can get the older price? And the woman said, no, I'm sorry, the price went up. And so we said, okay. And she said, well, she had called us later and said, you know, if you wanted to come see these two different models that you guys are kind of, you know, flip-flopping back and forth on, I won't be here tomorrow, but my other colleague will be, and she can let you in to see these other models. So we walk in, and we spoke to this woman, and she said, you know, because we just raised the price, and if you guys are willing to move in a month sooner, we can give you the lower price, and literally $10,000 less. And we just looked at each other and started laughing, because it was like, hello, it's just such a, you know, we knew what we wanted to spend, and it was about $10,000 over, and the universe totally brought us what we intended on spending anyways.
Exactly.
It was just amazing.
It is amazing, Christine. I think that's the point we're trying to make is, it really is when you change your perceptions, when you change your thoughts, and your emotions get attuned to that higher vibration, magic just seems to happen in your life. You know, it just seems like no sooner do you have a thought, and here it is manifesting in ease and effortlessness. And so I think your examples, you know, Christy, are really, they sort of break through all of that negativity that really doesn't happen, though. That's not real. Or, you know, people don't walk down Madison Avenue and find a $20 bill. Or, you know, leave Blockbuster and find $30. You know, but we do, you know. Those things do happen. And I think if we hear those more and more, we can really say, well, wait a second then. I want that to happen to me. What do I need to do to make that happen to me? You know,
absolutely.
I want magic. I want to have $10,000 come off my mortgage. You know, that is possible. So,
absolutely.
And
it's, sorry to interrupt you, but it's even the simple things, too. Like I was telling the example earlier of my friend Kara. I mean, she literally sent an email to a friend, and she's like, I just am tired of feeling bad. I just want to feel good. And literally sent her email, called me on the phone, and I started getting on my whole coaching thing, and I just, you know, started talking to her. And by the end of the conversation, she's like, oh, my God, I feel so good. I haven't felt this good in like a month. Oh, my God. And I'm like, but Carrie, you have to understand that you created that because you intended that. Your big intention was, I just want to feel good.
Yeah.
And so the next call that you make, of course, if you allow it, you know, you're going to feel good. She could, of course, been like, you know, with her arms crossed and, you know, sat there and went, yeah, I know all this stuff. Yeah, I say this stuff. Yeah, you know what I mean? And totally been closed down and not mm-hmm. receptive to it. But because she was like, you know what, I know this, but it's just, it's nice to hear a reminder of that. Thank you. And then she started getting on that process of, well, you know what, you're right. I have been focused on this, and I have had a bad perspective. And by the end of the conversation, she had totally forgotten about all the her, you know, problems and her woes and all that kind of stuff, and she felt excited about her life again. And yeah, she's got a lot to deal with, but at the same time, it's like, wow, okay,
you know what, having joy is possible, and it's possible in the now. And I think that is the whole point of our show today, is that it's available to you in this moment. It doesn't come from you. Abundance and joy and happiness and all that kind of stuff, it does not depend on that. The house that you're going to buy, the car that you're going to drive, if you're going to have a partner or not have a partner, if you're going to get a promotion at work or you're not, or if you're going to make more money, if you're going to attract more clients, all that stuff is external. And when you can literally sit in a quiet place and just close your eyes and do some type of meditation or centering exercise where you get in touch with that stream of well-being, because it is always there. It's just us. It's our minds that tell us it's not, that it's not enough. But when you can let that go, one of the meditation practices I know both of us use is that if you have a thought, like say you're in a meditative place, just close your eyes, and if you have thoughts that come up that are negative, imagining that you're putting them in a bubble and that they're being float away. You know, it's like almost like a bubble gum. You know, imagine that you're blowing up a bubble, putting those thoughts in that bubble and letting it float away, and then coming back to center, coming back to that place of being in that stream of well-being. So, I mean, it's just that simple. It's just a quick shift. And it's the more you practice this stuff, the easier it gets. It's like playing golf for the first time. If, you know, you were going to go out to a golf course and just pick up a club, you probably wouldn't have the clue with the first thing to even how to hold a club, let alone the rules of the game or how to do it, where you should walk, what kind of shoes you should wear. I mean, you wouldn't have a clue. You need a coach or someone to at least guide you and teach you. And once you do that, you then have, you know, you practice and you get a little bit better and you start learning a little bit more. It's like learning a new skill like that. First time you rode a bike, you didn't just get on and go. It took practice. And so changing the mind and being able to shift your perception, it's totally doable. You can absolutely do it. And it totally will shift your whole reality. But be easy on yourself, because it's a practice.
Well, and I think remembering too, Christy, that we've really been programmed to focus on negative things. You know, anybody who watches the news in the morning or any kind of television show, I mean, it's always really about focusing on the bombings and the negative and the, you know, because it doesn't sell. It's, you know, who's going to watch it if it's focusing on the roses and the flowers? So really, we have been so programmed to look for the negative things, look for the landmines to not step in. Be careful, be aware, be concerned, you know, and I think if you really, for most of us, I mean, that's where our minds naturally go, to the disasters, to the all the things that can go wrong. I mean, it's sort of that failure analysis, a mind of failure analysis. Let's figure out all the ways things can fall apart. But what we're really doing at that point is attuning our mind to all the things that can fall apart. And what we're saying today is it takes great discipline and training to attune the mind to all the things that are actually going quite well. You know, and think about that. During your day, how many times do you focus on the things that are falling apart? The things that, you know, in an effort to stop them from falling apart further, or in an effort to prevent them from falling apart in the first place, that's where we focus our thoughts. But the truth is, we really aren't in the habit of focusing our minds on all the things that are going extremely well. Like, Here's the first one. Hey, I even woke up this morning. That's a good day.
Yeah, I'm breathing.
I'm alive.
Yeah.
You know, and I love, those who know me well know that I adore my black lab, Joey. I could sit and just watch that guy for hours on end, because he is always in such a state of well-being. He is just happy to be sitting there and sniffing the air. And sometimes I think, you know, your mind isn't even working, Joey. You're not thinking of all the things you need to do, or things that could go wrong, or, you know, things you could be, you know, boy, I should be on a walk right now. Instead, he is in such a state of contentment. And I think that what he does for me is he reminds me to attune my mind to, in this moment, what is going well? I'm alive. I'm breathing. I've got shelter. I've got food in the fridge. My children are healthy and strong. And in this moment, everything is just so good. And yet, usually what my mind takes me to think is, this needs to be done or else, or this needs to happen or else, or what, you know. So I think that that training of our mind, that one thing we could do on a consistent basis is, you know, in addition to releasing all those negative thoughts, but it's really coming back to what is working right now in your life? What is going well? And that thought always tends to just sober me. It's like, what is working in your life right now?
Exactly.
And it's like, oh my gosh, 9 out of 10 things are working in my life well. I mean, really, so many things are going well for me. And I tend to be focused on the one thing that needs assistance or work or, like I said, you know, preparing myself so that I won't have something happen, instead of focusing on all those things that are going well. And it's interesting, you and I opened the show with, gosh, the weather's great. It's a summer day. You know, here we are. What is so wrong in our lives right now? You know, it's a great day. You know, we're alive. So I think that listeners, if they could just work on catching themselves several times during the day and attuning their minds to what is working for you right now. And notice how the mind will figure out all the things that are not working. But if they can really start weeding through those things that are not working and really hone in on, but wait a second, this is working for me. You know, somebody called me today to just wish me a happy day. That's a good thing. Focus on those qualities. Focus on those moments. And to, you know, you and I both know, Christy, those moments then begin to grow.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, a couple things I wanted to say is you had mentioned about people watching TV or listening to the news first thing in the morning, and there is a huge caution that I would warn anybody about this. You know, the news is the news, and you don't want to inundate yourself with it, but the two most horrible times to watch the news is first thing in the morning when you wake up or read the newspaper or right before you go to bed, because when you are first waking up and going to sleep, your alpha waves in your brain are very receptive. So if you, like, hear a song on the radio, say, for instance, you set your alarm and you have music that, you know, comes on your alarm, it seems like you have that song in your head all day long. Our mind literally just, like, gloms on to that information. And if the first thing your mind is soaking is, you know, information about a suicide bombing or, you know, someone being in a hijack or, you know, whatever the news is, it's like your mind clams onto that, and that's the vibration that you hold all day long. Or, like, right before you go to sleep, that's what you're bringing to you in your sleep state. And so it's just so horrible to do that. I mean, a better practice would be to maybe read for 15 minutes, maybe get up and, you know, first thing you do is meditate, or your first thing you do is read. Do something where you're going to be filling your mind and being open to expand your mind and fill it with positive things before you start out on your day. I know the days that I don't meditate or, you know, don't read something first thing in the morning, I'm off, because it's like I need that little dose of good positive energy in the morning.
Well,
and
you're
then, of
setting
course,
the course for your day.
Absolutely.
And
you're
and
setting the energy for your day.
Right.
Law of attraction.
And at night, you're setting the course for all that you're going to be working on at night.
Yeah.
And that's going to impact your the next day. So you're really just, you know, you're. It's almost like you're getting up and you're setting the GPS system for your day.
Yeah.
And which train track do you want to have it on? And so I think that when we just sort of unconsciously allow all these negative stories or thoughts, or even in our own head, even if we don't turn on the radio or the TV, but we wake up with that, oh, good God, it's morning. Oh, what do I have to do today? Oh, you're kidding. The dog has to go to the vet, and this has to happen, and this, If we start out the day in that mindset, that you and I both know, Christy, because we talk about it all the time, the day goes downhill real fast. Everything is going to go wrong. But if you start out that day and catch your thoughts and really train yourself to say, oh, good, wow, what do I have, you know, to look forward to today? And start really thinking of all the good things that you have in your life today. Maybe it's just, you know, a 5-minute break with your kids that you look forward to. Or it's, you know, I'm going to call this friend, or I have this to look forward to. Or, you know, really attuning your thoughts to, yay, I have this day. It sounds, again, very Pollyanna-ish, but that's attracting all good things to happen in your life. And what you and I have talked about in this conversation, Christy, it's amazing the magic that ends up coming to you when you're attuned to that, yay, you know, look at me in my day. I'm having so much fun and I'm so in love and with life. It's like life tends to be just so in love with you, it feels like, when you're in that mode. And the opposite, too. When you're in a negative spiral, boy, it just seems like people are rude and grumpy and obnoxious, and they go out of their way to screw you over.
Yeah, you know, lines are longer, traffic's, you know, worse, I mean,
right.
All that kind of stuff.
You
but
get
it's
the
funny.
Road rager next to you, exactly.
Yeah, it's funny when you say that, because, and I hope the listeners could hear and feel your vibration as I could, when you were giving those examples, you're like, oh, I got to take the dog to the vet. I mean, I just could feel your energy drop, and I could
mm-hmm.
feel how, you know, law of attraction, the universe is going to respond to the vibration you give out. But then when you started giving the example of, wow, you know, I have my day, it was like your whole entire energy lifted. And, you know, of course, the universe, again, is going to respond to that. So, you know, our words are important, the thoughts that we think are important, but, of course, it's the vibration. And what I love so much is a quote from Abraham Hicks that, you know, I'm never going to get it done. And I think that's it, is that, you know, we are eternal expanding beings, and we're never going to get everything done. We're always, once we accomplish all the things that we want to accomplish, there's going to be more stuff to accomplish, and then there's going to be more stuff after that to accomplish, and there's going to be more stuff after that to accomplish. So it's like being in the place where, you know what, I'm doing great just where I am, bringing mm-hmm. it back to the sufficiency and abundance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing awesome just where I'm at. I accept
mm-hmm.
and love myself just where I am. I'm at. I'm eager about what's coming. I'm excited about what I'm creating in the future. But right here in this moment, I'm finding the blessings. And that is what you want to do to raise your vibration. That's what's going to actually keep the more positive things coming to you.
If you find yourself, I'm sorry to cut you off, Christy, but even if you find yourself sitting in the muck and mire in this moment, there is something to be appreciative about, and I'll bring you back to my girlfriend who broke her neck. Even in that moment, again, I think the drugs played a big part in that. I think she had some really good drugs. But you know, I kept envisioning her laying in that bed with a halo around her, you know, screwed into her head to just come out of surgery. And even in that state, she refused to go to victim. And she was just almost adamant about saying, this is not a tragedy. I am blessed. So I think that even in those moments where we do find ourselves, you know, in the muck and mire, something has happened, big or small, tragic or just annoying, we still can say, okay, in this moment, do I choose to see it, you know, from a victim perspective, or do I choose to say, it's fine. You know, there are things in this situation that I can still find to be appreciative and blessed. And like you said, Christy, and that's going to just get you out of the muck and mire all the faster.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you said that, because you know what? The fastest way to raise your vibration and the way to stay in abundance is all day, every day, count your blessings. All day, every day, make your list of the things that you appreciate. And as you keep activating that space of abundance, that consciousness of abundance, working, what's working in your life, then the more pleasing other things are going to come to you, the more positive things are going to come to you. But more importantly, you're already going to feel so amazing, because you're in the truth of who you are, and everything is well. Everything is fine. And, you know, you're perfect, complete, and whole just as you are. So I think that wraps up today's radio show. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about, Rebecca?
No, I think we covered it, Christy. I think we did good. I know my vibration's feeling a lot better.
Good.
Yeah, it's uplifting, you know, to be reminded of these things. Yeah.
Absolutely. So thank you so much for listening, and we appreciate it. And if you ever have any questions, you can contact me, Christy@ChristyWhitman.com. That's Christy, Christy, @ChristyWhitman.com. Again, that's Christy@ChristyWhitman.com.
And I am Rebecca Grotto, R-E-B-E-C-C-A. GRADO @RebeccaGrotto.com. So, you can contact either Christy and I, and we're happy to speak with you further. If not, we'll just be talking with you next week.
Yeah. Thank you, and have a great week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye, Rebecca.